السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this nation with a great act of worship and obedience. That is one of the pillars of Islam, and we are currently in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, the month preceding Dhul-Hijjah, which is the month of Hajj. And so we'd like to briefly touch on the importance of this great command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know that Hajj is one of the five pillars of Islam, and it is one of the greatest commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed to this ummah. And actually, it is a right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon people. Allah says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And so it is a duty upon people towards Allah, and it is a right that belongs to Allah. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped, it is a right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we fulfill by worshipping Him, by praying our five daily salah and so on and so forth. And so likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Kaaba the central point in this universe. And He selected it for the first house of worship. He says in the Quran, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ. The first place of worship created for people or built for people, لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ. It is the one that is in Mecca, Mubarakan. It is a sacred and holy place, blessed, that the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend upon this place. Mubarakan. وَهُدًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And it is a means of guidance for mankind. فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ. In it are great signs, signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. And likewise, in it is the place of Ibrahim, the maqam of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so we know that the Kaaba was first built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to make the call for Hajj. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Allah commanded Ibrahim after he completed with Ismail alayhi salam the building of the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim, call out people to Hajj. He said, Ya Allah, who do I call? You know, there's nobody here. He said, desert. بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ. A valley that has no inhabitants, no growth, no water. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam by saying, it is your duty to make the call, and it is our duty to take the call to those who will be invited and who will come to the Hajj. And so ulama say that when Ibrahim alayhi salam made the call, the people that were going to visit the Kaaba and perform the Hajj in Alamul Arwah, their souls answered the call. And anybody whose soul answered that call of Ibrahim alayhi salam will get to go for Hajj at least once in their lifetime. And so this is a great obligation and a great form of worship. And we know that when Allah commands something, He has no benefit in it. This is why He says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. Actually, all of the benefit of Hajj is for your own selves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. It is for people. And so there are many benefits in performing this great obligation. The first one, obviously, is fulfilling the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and completing one of the pillars of Islam. But likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promises that the person who goes out, مَنْ حَجَّ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَاجَعَكَ يَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. That the person who performs pilgrimage does not have marital relations, because those are haram during the days of Hajj for the Haji. No marital relations and no sin. He or she will return as if they are a newborn baby. All of their sins are cleansed and removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Minor sin, major sin. And so this is a great benefit and a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sacrifice that a person will have to, because Hajj is a monetary and physical worship. You are exercising yourself, your effort. You need to go out and, you know, make preparations, and then you need to make the journey, and there is some difficulty in it, and then abiding by the laws of ihram, which are also not easy to abide by, and spending of your wealth. So when you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you, that He cleanses cleanses you from all sins. The only thing that will remain is if you have any issue with your Muslim brother and sister, any right that belongs to them, that you have to yourself fulfill that right. But anything between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cleared. The third is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that وَالْحَجُّ الْمَبْرُورُ لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. That a Hajj which is free from sin, mabrur is a Hajj that is fulfilled in accordance to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in which a person does not commit sin intentionally. وَالْحَجُّ الْمَبْرُورُ لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. There is no reward for it except for paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned about the most beloved things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so he said that first it is belief in Allah, then it is jihad in the path of Allah, fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then it is the Hajj. This is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith says, many people have the physical ability, but what holds them back is the expense of Hajj. It's especially in this day and age, and it is expensive. Right? It's not readily available, especially if you want to take your entire family and you're counting £4,000-£5,000 per head. Allahu Akbar. It's not a small price. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just the way he says about sadaqah, he says about sadaqah, مَا نَقَصَ مَالُ عَبْدٍ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مَالُ عَبْدٍ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ or مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ or كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that sadaqah and donation for the sake of Allah does not diminish one's wealth. Even if you have £100 and you've given £10 and so you have 90 left, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, your wealth has not diminished, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place barakah in that £90, and so you will be able to fulfill your needs with that £90 that is remaining. Likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that follow up a Hajj with a Umrah and a Umrah with a Hajj, for they remove poverty. And so this goes against the mind, right? In our understanding is, I have got some savings. If I go for Hajj, then those savings are going to be used. But Rasulullah says, no, do not concern yourself with that, because the blessing and the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant you through the Hajj, He's going to protect you from poverty. Why? Because shaitan, ya'idukum al-faqr. Shaitan at times he says, well, it's a good thing, but you can't afford it. If you go for Hajj, what's going to happen? You know, this little amount that you have for a rainy day, what's going to happen if you encounter problems and what have you? But Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us otherwise, that to follow up a Hajj with a Umrah and a Umrah with a Hajj, meaning one after the other, are a way to gain forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a way to keep poverty at bay, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees, just like salah, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. At the end he says, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. That in relation to Jumu'ah, the majority of people that are believers and Muslims and know of the injunction of attending Jumu'ah, what is their reason for not attending Jumu'ah? Most they are earning a livelihood. And say, but you know, this is rizq and provision, and what can you do? I have, this is my work. That's how I sustain myself and my needs and my family's needs. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, attend Jumu'ah, and Allah is the best of providers. Likewise, Rasulullah says, go for Hajj, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of providers. And the entire, all of the days of Hajj, which are begin in Mina on day 8 of Dhul Hijjah. And then on the day 9, the Hujjaj go to Arafah. And then they go to Muzdalifah in the evening of the 9th. And then they return to Mina on the day of Eid. And they perform the rituals. And then they will go to Mecca and perform Tawaf and return to return to Mina to remain there for 2 or 3 nights. And so total of 5-6 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it has been prescribed for the remembrance of Allah. Because every worship is to remember Allah. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Establish prayer for my remembrance. Establish Hajj for my remembrance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكًا لِيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ. That the purpose of Hajj is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you begin, the moment you make the intention, you wear the ihram, you say what? لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. That here I am answering your call, Ya Allah. And throughout your Hajj, you are involved in dhikr and dua and talbiyah, answering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the most important, is that the purpose of Hajj is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But alongside that, there are many other benefits. One such benefit is that it reminds us of the day of Qiyamah. And it reminds mankind of their return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially in certain places or with certain rituals. One is the wearing of ihram for men. This symbolizes what? The kafan that you are going to wear, or that you are going to be adorned with when you die and placed in your grave. This is number one. And so you are all equal before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No differences in relation to material and what have you. You all gather in the same place, regardless of age and race and standing and wealth. All united for the worship of the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no difference between people. And also this, you know, the movement of the Hujjaj, you know, whether it is they're going from Mecca to Mina, and then Mina to Arafah, and then from Arafah to Muzdalifah, and they're all moving all together. This reminds us of the gathering, that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Israfil alayhi salam blows the horn, people will come out, will sprout out of their graves, just like the produce of earth, right, coming out, and then heading towards the mahshar, the place of where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to begin judgment. And so people will go in different categories. Some are, they come out from their graves, they are dressed, and they are riding animals. These are the most righteous, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors them on that day. And then others who are the believing sinners and what have you, they are what? Completely naked, barefooted, head uncovered, in a state of hunger and thirst and heat. And then you have the kuffar who are being dragged by the angels and ushered to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so all of this movement of people, this great amount of people, 2-3 million of people, is to remind one of what? Being gathered for the judgment on the day of Qiyamah. And then the standing on the day of Arafah. Standing and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supplicating to Allah. This reminds us of the standing of the day of Qiyamah. Where everyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفًّا لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. Mankind, the jinn, animals, angels, all living beings will gather on that day and will await for the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beginning of judgment. And so they will go and ask Nuh, and then Adam, and then they will ask Nuh, and then they will ask Ibrahim, and they will ask Musa and Isa, and finally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercedes on behalf of mankind, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins judgment. Likewise, the circumambulating the tawaf around the Kaaba is a reminder that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He commands. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribes something as an obligation or as a command, Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. When Allah prescribes something, then you have no choice but to show obedience and submission. And there are many points that have been made in relation to the tawaf, its benefit or the wisdom behind it. But even without knowing the wisdom, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Hakim, wise. And so He does not prescribe anything without a motive. There is a reason. And He tells us it is all for your own benefit. I gain nothing from it. And so one such things, one such wisdoms or reasons that ulama point out is that above, directly above the Kaaba is what? Al-Baytul Ma'mur that Rasulullah ﷺ informs us of. There is also a place that is attended by the angels and tawaf is being done around the Baytul Ma'mur continuously from the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. Angels are making tawaf of it. Likewise, on this earth, the Kaaba represents that place. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهٌ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهٌ. He is a God in the heavens and He is a God on earth. He is worshipped in the heavens and He is worshipped on earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ يَسْجُدُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا. To Allah prostrate all the living beings in the heavens and the earth, willingly or unwillingly. And then he says in the Quran, فَإِنِ اسْتَكْبَرُوا فَالَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ يُسَبِّحُونَ لَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْأَمُونَ. If mankind is too proud to worship Allah, then Allah says, I don't need your worship because I have billions and trillions of angels that are worshipping me day and night, and they never tire, they never fatigue, they never get bored, they never give up. And so the tawaf around the Kaaba resembles the tawaf of the angels around the Bayt Ma'mur. This is number one. Number two is that we know now through science that everything is, Allah says in the Quran, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ كُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ. That everything that has been created by Allah is going around in an orbit. Right? The term is يَسْبَحُونَ, swimming in an orbit or moving in an orbit. And this orbit is anti-clockwise. And we know this now through science, that the moon goes around the earth once, you know, completes one circle every month. And then the earth goes around what? The sun. Right? And so everything, even with, you know, you have the atom has electrons that are going around. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wanting for the human being that believes in Allah to synchronize itself or himself with the universe. Everything is revolving around one, around whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the continuous tawaf and the seven times going round and round and round is what? Although the number and the wisdom of the number is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you don't just do one and go. You're asked to do seven times. Reminding yourself that my life is for the sake of Allah. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And so I will continue to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, regardless of the circumstances, difficulty, hardship, I understand the command, I don't understand the command, I am willing, I am not willing, I am happy, I am sad, it does not matter, I will continue. Because my life revolves around the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you have the, you know, the walking between Safa and Marwa. Allahu Akbar. Safa and Marwa. Reminded of the great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. How he leaves his family through the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it reminds you that what? Look at this. Thousands of years ago, Hajar alayhi salam did what? Walked and ran between Safa and Marwa out of desperation. Something that was, you know, she had nothing else to do. Her son is dying of thirst. There is no water. And so the only thing that she could do is walk between two high grounds so she could see if there is any people that she could get help from. But the sacrifice is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, can you imagine, from the time of Ibrahim, people have been doing this and they have been commanded to do this. Allah said, "Inna as-safa wal-marwata min sha'airillah." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it one of the acts of worship that are done for him, for his pleasure. Because Allah is Shakur, Allah appreciates. And so he loved that sacrifice, the sacrifice of the family in general, but even more so, the sacrifice of this mother that had full faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Ibrahim alayhi salam left them. And she said, you know, "Where are you going? Leaving us here." And he doesn't respond the first time, the second time, the third time. She says, "Did Allah command you to do this?" He says, he nods with his head, "Yes, Allah commanded me." إِذَنْ لَنْ يُضَيِّعَنَا. If it is a command of Allah, then we will not be forgotten by Allah. How can it be? He has created all of this creation and he's providing for them. And so he will provide for us. And so we are reminded of what? That the one who depends on Allah and follows the command of Allah and is obedient to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill their every need. And Allah doesn't need means for that. He sent Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah could have sent a caravan that is coming by and give them some water. But that would not have been a great miracle. Allah wanted it to be a great sign until the day of Qiyamah. That if you are obedient and in difficulty, then I will make a way out of that difficulty. Because I have taken upon myself to provide. That is my duty. I ask of you to be obedient and to worship. And I will provide. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, this sacrifice and the concern of the mother is no small thing. And so those of us who have mothers that are alive, beware of hurting your mother's heart and your mother's feelings. Or your father's feelings. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mobilized Jibreel alayhi salam, the greatest of angels, to come down through the seven heavens and onto earth in order to what? To come to the aid of this woman that was suffering for her child. So it reminds us of, you know, tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how the believer depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not lose hope. Even when all doors seem to be closed, then you know that the one who is in control is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who can open those doors is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one that will change situations is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what is left? Mina. In Mina you go and you do what? You stone the shaitan, and this symbolizes that we reject the shaitan. The way Ibrahim alayhi salam did what? He pelted the shaitan. Right? That I will not listen to your whispering and the ideas that you are putting in my mind. They say that when Ibrahim alayhi salam took Ismail, shaitan first, you know, went to Hajar. And he said, "Hajar alayhi salam." He said, "Do you know where Ibrahim is gone with Ismail?" She said, "No, I don't." He said, he's going to sacrifice him. So he wanted to come at Ibrahim from his wife, and she's beloved to him and she's the mother. And so if she reacts, then he's going to... This is why Ibrahim did not say anything to Hajar alayhi salam when he's leaving with Ismail. And so she says to him, but he is the messenger of Allah. Why would he do something like that? And it slipped out of even Shaitan, who was trying to cause mischief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did what? Shaitan himself, he said, Allah commanded him to do it. She said, well, if Allah commanded him, then who is going to question that? It is Allah who gave us Ismail. And if he commands that Ismail is to be sacrificed, then who am I to say anything? So then he goes after Ibrahim. And Ibrahim alayhi salam does not even, one is, she at least, you know, she had a conversation. She entertained the thought, like, hey, what is it that you are saying? And Ibrahim alayhi salam did not even bother with that. At a distance, pelted Shaitan. And so we reject. It's only a symbol. You know, people are there and you see slippers and you see big rocks. It's not, you're not physically harming Shaitan. But it symbolizes that we make an enemy out of him. Because this is what, a way that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Shaitan is your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Make him your enemy. Because all of this hajj you are doing, look, tawaf, you do two of them. When you arrive, you know, on the day of Eid, obviously there is the initial tawaf that you do when you come into Mecca, but that has nothing to do with hajj. A person could go directly to, you know, arrive and go directly to Mina. You are going to do tawaf how many times? The obligatory tawaf that cannot be missed is one. That is the tawaf that happens in the days of Eid. Right? On the day of Eid, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, when you have thrown the stone and the sacrifice and shaving of the head and the tawaf, going to Mecca for tawaf. This is known as tawafu ziyarah, the visiting tawaf. Why? Because you're staying in Mina, but you're only going to visit Mecca and returning to Mina. So you have that tawaf. And then if you add another one, which is recommended in Sunnah, is the tawaf of wada', that when you have finished Hajj in its totality and you are about to leave now, you do that last tawaf before leaving Mecca. And then sa'i is also twice, because with tawaf comes sa'i, the walking between Safa and Marwa. Arafah is only one day, one standing from the sunrise until sundown. Muzdalifah is one night. Mina is what? Three days. The day of Hajj, the day following, the 11th and the 12th. And actually the recommended is to remain until the 13th. Each of those days you are going to go, and you are going to go to three different places, and you are going to stone seven times. To remind you that the obstacle between you and Allah and your enemy that is holding you back is Shaitan. And so make an enemy out of him. So all of these are what? Are actually blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they say that on the day of Qiyamah, that believers, when they are resurrected, they will say, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada. All praise is due to Allah who guided us to this, i.e. to His worship. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَا. We would not have been guided لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. You know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just made us aware of who He is, and He said, I am Allah, I created you, so worship me. And then He left it up to you too. You wouldn't know how to worship Allah. This is why ulama, they say Quran begins with Alhamdulillah. Allah taught us how to praise Him. Because if you don't say Alhamdulillah, then you would never fulfill the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even with Alhamdulillah, you don't fulfill His praise. But He teaches us how to gain closeness to Him. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His creation. And He wants blessing for His creation. And He wants to bring His creation close to Him. And so at times, He prescribes some things that have some difficulty in them. But out of His mercy, He says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَيْنَا مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. If you have the ability. If you don't have the ability, okay, stay in your place, fast the day of Arafah, I will forgive all of your previous sins. And so those of us who have the ability of going for Hajj and have not done so, delaying it with good intention, next year, the year after, inshallah, once my son gets married, once this happens, once I buy a house, when it is prescribed, it is like Salah. When the time of Salah comes in, you've got a window. If you miss that window, then what happens? It becomes Qada. And you have committed a major sin. Delaying Salah is a major sin. Delaying Hajj is a major sin. Umar radiallahu anhu said once that I wish I could just, you know, I intend to send people out to the villages and towns that are far away from Mecca and look for people who do not come for Hajj without any valid reason and take taxes from them. I do not consider them as Muslims. Major sin, because it is a right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not delay it. Most reasons for which people delay Hajj are not valid reasons. If you have the physical ability and you have the financial ability and you can leave enough behind for your family to sustain their needs and fulfill their needs, then Hajj is compulsory on you. Don't wait until you can take your wife. Don't wait until you... You know, people say, oh, well, I'm waiting, inshallah, I'm, you know, getting money together and I'm waiting so that we can go as a family. Allah did not say come as a family. He said if it's fard on you, you come. Leave your family. It's not fard on them. Your children, it's not fard on them. Your wife, if she doesn't have the financial ability, it's not fard on her. You fulfill your fard. Because that wife that you're waiting for on the day of Qiyamah, she will not accept the responsibility. When you say, ya Allah, why didn't you go for Hajj? Well, I was, you know, saving so that I can take my wife or I can take my children with me. They will all say, ya Allah, we did not ask him. Right? And so if Hajj is compulsory on you, then do it. And then if you want to take your family, it is absolutely righteous and a good thing to do, to go as a family and to visit the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first sent revelation and to get, you know, get the feeling and physically connect to where Rasulullah was born, where Wahi descended, and see Ghar Hira and go to the Masjid Nabawi. And so you physically attached now to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is all good, but do it in Umrah form. You don't have to do it. You go for Hajj and then take your family on Umrah. It's much cheaper. Right? And so, you know, yes, there are exemptions, but a person should think. This is a trick of shaitan. And if I die and I have no guarantee, what will I answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Having given me the physical ability and having given me the financial ability to perform the Hajj. What do I say to him? And so this should be taken seriously, because there are many benefits to it, as we said. Sins are forgiven, a person will enter paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove poverty. But also, it is a major sin, for which if a person dies without fulfilling it, then they will have to face the consequences and answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding and to enable us to fulfill His rights of worship upon us. Alhamdulillah.